Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
In just a little bit, we'll be joined by the award-winning journalist Lisa Ling, who has a show which is called This Is Life with Lisa Ling. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
Not yet.
She kind of she goes inside and investigates things and then presents kind of both sides of,
right.
of
oh,
what she cool. is what she is experiencing. It's a pretty cool show.
Nice.
And I think the fifth season premiere of it is coming up tonight. So Lisa Ling will join us in just a little while. This is High-Pitched Jeff on the Framingham Ford studio line. Happy Friday, Jeff.
Jeffrey.
Jeff.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Jeff's heartbroken about Companion, so he can't speak.
oh, is he upset? Another broken heart that you left behind?
You know, I'm leaving them in my wake.
Yes,
what can I say?
Yes.
I'm a hot commodity.
Let's see. This is Bill. Hey, Bill, what's going on?
Hey, morning, guys.
How are you?
And Danielle.
Hi.
Hey, I know we kind of moved on from the animal thing with the zoos, but a side note that I didn't hear you guys bring up is that a lot of these animals are actually, you know, just injected with, you know, some antidepressants and basically the form of Xanax in order to get a lot of the compassion times. And so a lot of the times when you see them just laying around, I'm not saying all the time, but I'm saying a lot of the times, a lot of the big ones, some of the ones that'll kind of get out of hand, I don't know if you guys saw that special on Netflix, Blackfin.
I've heard about the whales.
The reason they have those fins that are flaccid, so to speak, is because there's no water current. They don't get to swim. They're not swimming against a current in the open ocean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's just a really dark example about and the way they hit it and the way the zoos, you know, hide them. I'm not saying that all zoos are bad, but a lot of them are pretty dark.
Okay. All right. Well.
I went to an exhibit. I won't say where, but they had kangaroos, they had lemurs, and, you know, basically what that guy was talking about is the kangaroo, you know, which should be kind of bouncing around or, you know, is like asleep.
Kind of like you at a celebrity golf tournament or a cornhole event.
Yeah. Kind of do course. Sports.
Exactly. And I wasn't happy that you injected me with an antidepressant.
Pretty sure you took them yourself.
Yeah.
Oh. No. I'm pretty sure.
There are incredible zoos that truly care about animals, but, you know, again, it's cool to go. I've paid to go see a killer whale. I've paid to go see dolphins.
Have you swam with them?
I think they would probably like to be in the ocean rather than
a confined tank. Right.
Hmm. Well, I guess maybe I'll change my mind on this. I mean, I think it's cool for kids. It's kind of like a contradiction of sorts because it's cool for kids to have the opportunity to see animals in order to have a love for animals.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the situation that they're seeing them in, you are saying, is not a good situation for the animal.
And which is why we walk upright. We catch them, put them in a tank, and make a bunch of money. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. You know, a lot of kids, like you said, Hilldog, enjoy, like the Boston Aquarium. I mean, that's incredible, you know, but I don't, you know, the penguins, to see a penguin, I mean, that's pretty incredible for a 5-year-old.
Right.
I don't think the Penguin's too pumped about being in a 150 square foot kind of pond area. And the same thing, you know, wow, that the shark's going around in the tank.
Yeah.
I it's cool to see the diver in there feeding everything. I know that they get taken care of. I appreciate it. I think it's cool, but I think it's unnecessary.
But the Penguin is just going, wah, 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 wah.
Well, the penguin is going, actually... wah, 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 because some five-year-old is outside the thing going, I can walk like a penguin.
Classic. I think the penguin would be, like to be sliding off.
Slide?
Off an ice flow. Mm.
Right.
Into
right.
a really gigantic
cold pond.
Bunch of cold water and eating fish rather than being fed by a human.
I drank a Bud Heavy out of an ice flow.
I've never been to Australia. I will say that.
I mean, what about the, like, have you ever been to Busch Gardens? I mean, I feel like they treat the animals okay there.
I appreciate and I respect everybody that does their job and treats the trapped animals as humanely as they can.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, if you were never allowed to leave your bedroom, no matter if you had a 70-inch flat screen and a freezer full of food, it would get old in a hurry.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'd like to try it.
Right?
No, I know. Give it a whack. I know. All right. It's 9:10, and we are joined right now by Lisa Ling, and she is on the Framingham Ford studio line. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, there's so many things to talk to you about. First and foremost, you and I are both elite runners, and if I remember correctly, you have done the Boston Marathon. Am I correct about that?
I did run the Boston Marathon many, many moons ago, and literally almost died at Heartbreak Hill. And you know what was really annoying about that? Like, right as I was getting to Heartbreak Hill, I was exhausted. I was about to fall over. And this, like, little Japanese guy with a giant American flag with no shoes speeds by me. I'm like, how?
Right? And you're like,
how is this happening?
That happens to me in a 5K, so don't worry about it. Like, everybody. Listen, the other thing too, if I remember correctly, I want to spend a good deal of time talking about the show, about This Is Life with Lisa Ling, but you did something in North Korea, right?
I did. I went with a medical doctor to North Korea in 2007. And I went under the auspices of being part of the medical team. And so we produced an episode about what that country was like and their broken healthcare system. And I mean, how could I ever know that a couple of years later my sister would be, held captive in North Korea? It was just like such an unbelievable series of events.
And are you surprised by the way in which Kim Jong-un seems to be open to getting rid of his nukes and with regard to the Western world, cooperating somewhat?
So I'm really not surprised. I think that the North Korean government, and as sort of unusual as the their dictators have been, Kim Jong-un and his father before him, are and were, they have always wanted to have a direct line of communication with the United States. And I think that that's one of the things when my sister was held captive in North Korea, they were trying to pressure the U.S. government to try and negotiate directly. But because the two countries haven't had a diplomatic relationship, they have had to go through intermediary countries in order to even just communicate. So I think that this is actually something that the North Korean government has wanted. So I think it could be a legitimate course of action that is being carried out.
You immerse yourself for the show in all kinds of things, all kinds of communities, all kinds of groups and places. And I'm wondering if North Korea was the most terrifying, or were there others that scared you?
You know, it's an interesting question, because when I look back at that experience in hindsight, I can't believe that I went there. And I think that at the time, I was probably a little naive. You know, I jumped at the opportunity to go there with my friend and colleague, who is a Nepalese eye doctor. And I thought, if they ever discover my identity, they will just eject me from the country. You know, little did I ever expect that years later my own sister would be held captive, and so many Americans since then would be held captive. So I think I was just lucky that they didn't do their homework and Google me when I went in.
Yeah. Well, This Is Life with Lisa Ling premieres on Sunday. This is the fifth season, correct?
Yes.
And so what can we look forward to? What did you do for this upcoming season?
So, as always, this season is as diverse as previous seasons. Our first episode, though, is kind of a deep dive and look into the MS-13 gang. And I know that Boston has a fairly decent-sized presence of MS-13 gang members. You know, the president would like us to believe that this is a transatlantic international enterprise, but the reality is that while MS-13 has a lot of gang members, it's actually quite disorganized. The various cliques, even in different cities, don't get along with one another. But the reason why this gang makes headlines is they, you know, employ like utter savagery in the murders that they commit. And so I hope people will watch this episode and even read the piece I wrote on CNN.com, because MS-13 is a complicated issue, and I think context is really important. And just hearing phrases and hearing the president characterize these gang members as animals doesn't give people a full picture of what they're about and how they even became the vicious organization that it became. And, you know, frankly, the U.S. government has played a role in its evolution, and I think people just should know the context.
Wow, interesting. So you explore and explain how the government has played a role in that.
Well, I wrote about that on CNN.com, and we mention it in our episode. But what I think we really do in our first episode is kind of give you a sense of how this gang came to be, why they perpetrate these kinds of attacks, and who is really vulnerable to MS-13. So that's our first episode. We also have an amazing episode about people who claim to be gender fluid. These days, there is a gender revolution going on, and if you go to any high school or any college, you'll hear kids talking about the pronouns that they want to be referred to as, and that's because there are a lot of young people who don't feel like they identify entirely with being a girl or boy, that they're somewhere in between. And it's a really fascinating movement that's happening. And, you know, parents who are listening, if you want to understand what's going on, I think this is a great episode for you to check out. We feature Magic Johnson, who has a gender-fluid child. Huh. And it's a really compelling episode.
And then also, this is of personal importance to me. You also explore screen addiction in this upcoming season.
Yeah, this might actually be one of the most important pieces that I've ever done, because we all as a culture are, I think it's safe to say, pretty addicted to our devices. I mean, never before in human history have as many people been connected, but at the same time, never before have we experienced these high levels of loneliness, because rather than communicating with human beings very often, particularly young people, they're going to their devices. And this episode explores the consequences of this kind of addiction. And, you know, we explore what's happening in Silicon Valley. You know, there's a former Google ethicist that left Google to raise the red flag about how these companies are intentionally doing everything they can to addict people to their devices.
Really?
And they've hired thousands of engineers and hundreds of psychologists to better figure out how to do that.
Of course.
Well, I mean,
it's a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah. Well, listen, we just learned this morning that people are using the new Apple app to measure their junk. That's all they're doing. So, of course, these people are addicted to this kind of thing. It's nuts. Now I will be I'll be home all weekend watching television, which is what I'm.
He's a binger. He's a 3-day binger.
As long as you binge my show, I'm a happy camper.
Sunday night is the premiere on CNN. Correct, Lisa?
Correct.
All right. Well, it's been awesome to have you on, and we will we'll be watching.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. No worries.
All right. That is Lisa Ling. And so a texter says somebody booked her on the wrong show. No.
No.
I am open to, I don't care if somebody works for CNN or any other network. I'm open to all interesting people who offer all kinds of opinions.
And she gives both sides.
Of course
she
does. Yeah. Yes, she does.
Well, and how about giving her like props? I mean, how much courage does it take
to go to North Korea?
No, North Korea for one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
he's a badass, but you know, was it
MS-13?
MS-13.
Yeah.
I mean that. Yeah.
Is it the gang PG-13, kid?
Greg, I don't know if you want to go to there.
Goonies.
Oh, you know.
This is like when you used to talk about Aaron Hernandez when he was in prison.
Okay.
That's my last name.
Is that like talking about this thing of ours, as they call it?
That thing of ours.
Is that what La Cosa Nostra stands for? Isn't that what that stands for?
Our house, I think.
No, I think it stands for this thing. I thought it stood for this thing of ours or something.
Our
like
thing.
That.
We're measuring with the Apple app.
This is Bubba. Hello, Bubba.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Bubba?
So I believe Lisa did a documentary already with MS-13. She went to a Latin American country to a prison, and they pretty much told her straight up, we run this place, and we allowed you to be here, and we don't have to let you leave.
Oh,
it's nuts, right? I mean, nuts. Let's see. She rode with a motorcycle gang, a texter says, on one of the shows.
Yep, she's done it all.
Yeah. A texter doesn't believe that as a journalist, she appreciated my junk comment. But,
nope.
Well, I mean, that's fine.
She didn't acknowledge
she glazed over it.
And then you said it was nuts. Very good, Greg.
I have no
problem.
Kim
Jong Un
could
never pull that.
I don't have a problem.
You don't work for CNN. She's legit.
Right. All right. It's 9:22, and today's show is presented by Echo Store Technologies, your data center solutions provider. For more information, you could go to echostore.com.
And now, LB.
I got a pretty dope sense of humor, brah.
With a WAAF Sports Minute.
Get that right, brah. It's brought to you by New England's hair loss experts, Dr. Matthew Lepresti and Dr. Robert Leonard. If you need some lettuce, call 1-800-GET-HAIR. Go to hairdr.com.
Kimbrel is ready. He sets. The 2-2. Swing and a miss. Strike three. The Red Sox have won the American League's Eastern Division Championship for the third straight year. For the first time in Red Sox history, they have finished in first place in three consecutive seasons. They beat the Yankees 11-6, and for the second time in 3 years, they clinch on the Yankees' home field.
Thanks, Joe. Great call. Enough said right there. And Mookie was the man. He went yard. The Red Sox, you know, got her done, and it's all good. But Mookie was laser show.
Mookie swings it. He hits it high and deep to left. Down the line it goes. It is gone. A three-run home run. A Mookie moment in the Bronx as Mookie Betts hits his 30th home run. Five RBIs tonight for Mookie Betts. And the Red Sox lead it 11-6.
Yeah, you got to love it. Mookie and J.D. Martinez chasing the MVP.
And it looks like he's okay when it comes to the oblique, which everybody was panicked about when I was over there on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Because he left that game Sunday.
Yeah. But,
well, you're a runner. Have you ever strained an oblique? There's nothing worse.
No, at one time.
Anything near the ribs.
One time I pulled a cruller. Is that the same? Oh, is that the same thing?
Me too.
I don't think so. Rookie manager Alex Cora, AL East champ skipper.
I think that when I signed that paper, you know, obviously the goal is a lot bigger. We know that. I know that. This is part of it. Now we won the division, like I've been saying all along, you know. Now is home field, secure home field. And then obviously we go to the dance and win 11 in October.
Yeah, and you got to love it. Stanton had the grand slam, and the Sox just kept digging, and they pull it out 11-6. You got to love it. Next up, the Indians. Ooh, they're very good. They're atop the Central, and so we're going to see Tito for three on the road. The Browns win. Thank you, Baker Mayfield. And the kid just stepped up big time. Tyrod Taylor went out with an injury. Baker Mayfield comes in, puts on a show and a half, got a couple of running touchdowns, and the Browns win. They're 1-1-1, and that's their first win, and I'm sure everybody's heard it forever since last night, in 600-plus days. Well, so they haven't won for 2 years.
I mean, I would assume there would not, because of the injury, there won't be a quarterback controversy. But
Hugh Jackson said last night after the game that Baker Mayfield's going to start.
He is for good going forward. Yeah.
Our Patriots are in Detroit this weekend. Gronk's ankle is a maybe. I guess it might be junk, but I would say this is a mind F on the Lions.
Yeah.
That they're gonna, this is what the Montreal Canadiens used to do to the Bruins. You go up for pregame skate the day before the game, and half the team wouldn't be on the ice, and they'd be listed as injured. And then, you know, opening face off, you're like, they're all back here.
Yeah. So. What do you think about we discussed this earlier, but about the potential for when it comes to the Patriots being one of the two teams who might give Colin Kaepernick a shot. What do you think about that report today?
Well, I why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, again, you bring anybody into the Belichick's system, you're going to be a better player. If you were a mediocre player, or you're a part-time guy, special teams guy, and you come from another team and you come into the Belichick regime, You're gonna improve minimal 50%, if not 100%. So
yeah, I mean, do you think that Bill Belichick gets concerned about a guy like that though, and everything he brings with him, media wise? And
I think that's all over. And I think it's all done.
And attention wise,
I think he's proven that he maybe not care with Gordon coming in. Gordon had a lot of baggage, too.
Yeah, but it's not the huge, same. It's
right,
not the same.
Not as huge as this, but, you know, I always go back to Randy Moss. He took Randy Moss. They molded him. They had a great season. They were able to shut him up.
Yeah.
And he played great with Brady.
Yeah.
And so I think by taking Gordon on, he's willing to look past the baggage team needs.
He's had success doing it, whether it's Corey Dillon or, you know, you mentioned Randy Moss, but I don't know if it's the same kind of media frenzy thing that comes along with Colin Kaepernick. And certainly
can there be any more media frenzy when you're talking about the Patriots? The NFL lives with the Patriots all day, every day.
Do you think the fan base would embrace that? Or do you think that would cause
problems?
It's about
winning, bud. All about winning.
Exactly.
You win,
if they
good.
Got Kaepernick in here and they were winning and he helped them to win, I'm telling you, man, it doesn't matter. They'll just drop all that baggage and be like, yeah, this guy's, keep going. This guy's awesome.
This is Justin. Hello, Justin.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Can you guys imagine how much people's heads are going to explode if Kaepernick joins the Patriots? They're not going to know whether to hate us or to love us.
I know. It will be.
How to get everyone in Boston to change their tune on Kaepernick.
Here's a
Bring
seven.
The Patriots.
Right.
Here's a seven. You mean people would be hypocritical and say that
Kaepernick
they love him?
Kaepernick Patriots jerseys would be flying off the shelves.
I don't think they would.
No, it's a proven situation. But I think you have Tom Brady and you have a qualified quarterback that he chose to take the path he took socially. But you have Brady teaching Kaepernick. Only going to be better.
Here's a 781 text that says, "What a giant distraction that would be for this Patriots."
I think this team has proven they can handle distractions, despite whatever size they are.
Brady suspended 4 games. Whoops.
This is Andy. Hello, Andy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Andy?
This blows my mind, but I have an LB correction. And the coach of the Browns said he was going to watch tape and then decide who starts next week. Unbelievable.
So you're trying to convince me that he's not starting next week. He's the starting quarterback.
He's the starting quarterback till
he retires when he's 41.
I'm surprised he wasn't anyway. It was the number one pick.
Of course. You can't do that. Hugh Jackson was trying to be the good guy and not send Tyrod Taylor down the river. And, you know, he'd have a meltdown. You still need a backup, right, to Baker Mayfield.
You don't
want a guy that's, like, pissed off.
I'm just impressed you haven't been calling him Hugh Jackman every time he said
great
it.
Great actor. You know he does Broadway.
Hold on a second. This is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I would not be one of those flip-floppy Patriots fans. If Colin Kaepernick joined the team, I'd stop watching and find another team to watch.
You would?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't like his politics. I have nothing personal against the guy. It has nothing to do with anything other than the fact of the way he presented his protest. I don't believe it's right. I'm an American red, white, blue. And you just don't do what he did, and I wouldn't watch him anymore.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
If you came home for supper tonight and your father burned the American flag in the backyard because he was pissed off,
I'd still
eat
supper.
Talk to him again?
Oh, I didn't know the question.
That's actually a bad example because I don't speak to my father anyway. So,
all right. Well, what if your wife burned the flag? Would you divorce her?
Your fat wife.
You know.
Put your money where your mouth is, kid.
You want to know what? I wouldn't talk to her until she apologized and bought me another one. How's that?
Attaboy.
Well, we can continue to discuss this and other things as we get closer to the WAAF Workday Blitz, over an hour of commercial-free nonstop rock that's coming up at 10. We're about to be joined by one of the most well-known and perhaps more beloved judges in New England.
Mm.
I don't know if you are familiar or not with Judge Frank Caprio from Rhode Island. You see him on YouTube all the time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's very kind-hearted when it comes to the defendants that come before him. If they have, you know, whether it's a whole bunch of parking tickets or a bunch of speeding tickets, and he's about to get a judge show. You know like Judge Judy.
Yeah,
or,
right.
Judge Wapner was
People's Court.
He was the OG.
Yeah.
When it came to all that, so he's gonna join us in just a moment, and I'm sure that you've seen the. I don't know what we'll have to ask him what the most popular video is on YouTube. I think it might be that woman who had all those tickets. And was telling the story of her son dying, and did you watch that one?
Stop.
You have to cry when you hear that.
That's an amazing one.
That is coming up. Today's weather, it is going to be partly sunny, and the temperature is going to be 72 today, and it is 64 right now here in beautiful, safe Brighton, Massachusetts. And the judge is actually on the Framingham Ford studio line right now. Hey, Judge.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am doing fine. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Well, we're delighted to have you on. And what are you up to when it comes to do you know? I know you're an older guy like me. Do you even know how many views you have on YouTube now?
Well, I think we have approximately 2 billion views worldwide.
That's unbelievable. And
started off with one camera in the courtroom, my brother Joe and myself, on a public access station. And then from that, you know, we went from that to now we're getting 2 billion views worldwide. So it's been a great journey. But listen, before we go any further, I have to congratulate you on the Boston Red Sox winning the pennant yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I've been a Red Sox fan my entire life.
Yeah.
I remember going to see the Red Sox in 1946 when Bobby Dorr and Ted Williams and Dom DiMaggio and Al Zorrilla, you know, and all of those, who was it, Tex Houston, right?
Sure.
Walt
yes.
Ferris.
Yes.
So I've been a fan that long, so I'm celebrating with you.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Well, listen, we include, when it comes to the Patriots, we include Rhode Island in the New England part of it.
Sure.
I don't know about the Red Sox, but you guys can, you know what, you can cheer from down there if you want. What is what's the Judge, what is the case that is most often mentioned to you as the most interesting or moving when people talk about your style of adjudicating, I guess I would say.
Well, actually, there are two categories of cases. The one case that is most mentioned is a case of a woman who came in who had about $500 worth of parking tickets.
Yes, yes.
And I was getting ready to fine her, and all of a sudden she just broke down in tears and indicated that her son had died. He had been killed. And then she says, if only I was there, and she then indicated that her brother and her son had an altercation and her brother killed her son. And not only the emotional turmoil in her life that she lost a son and her brother was being punished for it, and she was completely broke. She had no money. And now she's in court, and she has parking tickets. So after having a discussion with her, you know, my heart was broken for her, and I decided instead of charging the $500, I would charge her $50.
Amazing.
And then I just looked in her eyes, and something said to me, let me ask her one more question. And I said, if you pay $50 today, how much money will that leave you? And she said $5. And then I thought to myself, I'm going to send this woman home with $5. She probably won't have enough money to eat tonight, maybe not pay a bill, maybe have her car repossessed, maybe her electricity turned off. I couldn't find it in my heart to find her anything. So I dismissed the entire case. And that
good,
case
good on you.
Has been mentioned.
Now, we got a couple of dodo birds up here who stole the who may have stolen the Red Sox AL East division banner. If those guys were brought in front of you as a Red Sox fan.
Life in jail.
Okay. Yeah. Life in jail. I love it.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
The gavel comes down.
Justice will be served.
Now, what do other judges say about your compassionate style when it comes to the way you conduct yourself in the courtroom?
Well, Robin has a very compassionate judiciary. I get along very well with my colleagues. I've never had not even one mention that they thought I was too lenient.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they feel that way in their heart, but they haven't expressed it to me anyway.
Yeah.
It's not going to change me one way or the other.
There was one that I saw on YouTube of a guy who was in your court who had, he had recently had brain surgery or, do you remember this?
With a helmet.
Yes, yes. And he had a parking ticket or something, right? Was that what the, was that what that was?
I don't remember the incident because I've had thousands of cases. But I do remember the incident of him coming in and he had a helmet on, and I think I dismissed the case. I couldn't find him.
Yeah. Go ahead, Shu. Yes.
Yeah. So, like you said, you've judged thousands of cases. So at this point, you must be able to tell who's feeding you a story. I mean, how do you figure that out? Like someone comes in and says, oh, I'm having a hard time with my family, you know, and this and you know.
Yeah.
I can tell. I have a sense of who's trying to give me a snow job and who isn't. You know, our experiences in life teach us. I started off like shining shoes, and then I delivered newspapers, and then I delivered milk, and then I worked in a restaurant, you know, and then I taught school to get enough money to go to law school. My entire life has been dealing with people, some people who, you know, would serve their interest to tell falsehoods. So I sort of get a sense from it, from my interaction with people. My attitude, my feeling is this. If you come in and tell me the truth, and you're humble, and you have a good attitude, I'll try to give you a break. If you come in with an attitude and you're trying to lie to me and give me a snow job, you're not going to get a break. You know?
What was the worst excuse somebody tried to use to try to get out of a speeding ticket?
Well, a fellow came in one day, and he was a little uneasy, and he was, you know, sort of a little overweight, and he was speeding. And I said, is there anything you want to tell me about this case? And he said, Judge, he said, I was at work, and my wife called, and we've been trying to have a child. And she told me she was ovulating, so I was speeding to get home. So I asked him if it worked. And he said no. So I felt sorry for him, and I dismissed the case.
Now, is it is this show, so the judge's show premieres on Monday. It's called Caught in Providence. And is it, I had heard from a texter earlier today that all of these judge shows are owned by Judge Judy, who is like filthy rich. Is that?
I'm glad you asked that question. I'm going to interrupt you.
Yes.
We are not a judge show.
Okay.
Right? We are not a judge show. We are not in the studio. We are the only program on TV, I believe, that is an actual proceeding, a judicial proceeding. We are not a show. We have a judicial proceeding. We're not part of any other network.
Are you saying that the People's Court is not real? That Doug Llewellyn is fake news?
I'm not calling anything fake. It's just that it's not an actual court proceeding. It's not a judicial proceeding.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
People who come into our court. It's not a party A against party B. It's people who don't have to come in, but they're challenging the city. They're challenging the sovereign that they feel that they have been wronged, and they want to come in and they want justice. And many of them come in with righteous indignation, and quite frankly, I don't blame them. I have actually had people from Boston drive to Providence 50 miles away for a $30 parking ticket. I don't know what's coming before me until I sit on the bench. And as soon as I see that before me, I know I'm going to get a good story. And I tell them, why did you drive 50 miles? And they said, because I know I'm right, and I'm not going to pay this right out of principle. So I'm confronted with that situation quite often. And, I've stated often, I wear a robe, but I wear a heart under my robe. I don't wear a badge. So I'm there to help people. I'm there to do justice and treat people fairly.
Are you at least wearing pants under the robe, Judge?
You can go to the bank on that.
All right. Nice. Well, the show is called Caught in Providence. Thanks for being on with us this morning. That is Judge Caprio from Rhode Island. He's a guy that you can see all over YouTube.
Right.
And
yeah.
That show sounds like it'll be pretty good.
Thank you for dismissing my case.
This is Rob on the Framingham Ford studio line. Rob, what are you calling about?
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment on that Kaepernick thing. I'm a 100% disabled veteran. I disagree with what he did, but I agree as an American that he has the right to do it the way he did it.
Yes.
Sure. A lot of people get all bent out of shape for what he did. I'm not going to get all bent out of shape. I don't agree with what he did or the way he did it, but, like I said, as an American, as a disabled veteran, he has that right. That's what we fought for him to be able to do that.
So the question earlier was, are you a Patriots fan? And if so, would if indeed this report is true, that they are one of two teams that are going to sign him, would that affect, would the fact that they did that affect the way in which you support this Patriots team?
Nah, it's not going to affect me. I mean, I'm a big Patriot fan, but okay, that wouldn't affect me none.
Okay. Well, let's see what Rob has to say. Another Rob. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
All right. So let's go back to Bledsoe. When we had Bledsoe, there was no senior or seasoned quarterback as a player coach. Parcells wanted to bring in Phil Simms, but that fell through. But then we got Brady. Bledsoe gets hurt. Brady comes in, we have a player coach, a seasoned quarterback. Wouldn't this be one of the best ideas, to have the backup, but also to have Brady, someone who is amazing as his player coach, to get him ready to take over?
Well, you had that with Jimmy Garoppolo.
But he wanted $120 million.
Yeah.
I can't get over the whole Jimmy G thing. Well, name a nitwit owner that would pay a backup quarterback $18.3 million.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know they were never going to pay him that here.
So,
but,
what's the big deal? Now you got Colin Kaepernick. He's going to make what? I don't even know. He's making peanuts when it comes to big dough.
This is Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hey, what's up, Greg?
What's up, Jim?
On Colin Kaepernick, I mean, really, people get pissy about his politics, but if he comes to the Pats, is he going to play well, or is he not going to play well?
Yeah.
Why does anybody care about anything else?
Well, there are people who are texting in, like this person here says, if the Patriots sign this clown, I am going to become a Jets fan, and I will
be done. You're lying. You're lying. You're not driving to New York every Sunday to watch the Jets get their ass handed to them. Please, did you watch that game last night? Sam Donald sucked.
Here's the text that says, as an LEO, law enforcement officer, I would not watch another Patriots game if they signed him.
It's not true.
Well, for some people, it is, LB. Some people feel very strongly about that.
Even if they're winning, they'll stick to their guns.
I
don't have a problem with that. And what I would say to that law enforcement officer, thank you for what you do. You're amazing. You guys are awesome. And thank you for taking care of us and making my son happy to put his head on a pillow and wake up happy every morning alive because you're willing to do your duty. What I will say is you're a liar. You're going to watch the Patriots.
Well, no.
I think it's amazing that people talk out both sides of their mouth. So I'm a Vietnam veteran, fought in three tours in wherever. And I'm not happy with my government, and I burn a flag. So you're never going to talk to that guy again. You're never going to thank him. You're going to disown him from your family. It's silly. This is America.
This is Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hey, kid.
What's up, Brian?
Hey, first, Sue.
Yeah.
Happy Voivod Day.
Today? Okay. All right.
Hey, Greg, the comment that LB just made in regard to nitwit owner paying two quarterbacks $18 million.
Yes.
Is it the equivalent of a restaurant owner having to chalk up for two barbacks to pay minimum wage?
Well, I don't think it's the exact. What? I don't think so. But,
I don't get it. That went over my head.
I mean, I don't know.
Right.
What? Speaking of days. I do know that there, before we go, it's been an earmoth-filled Friday.
Yes, it has.
And I do lives in Banana Land.
Yeah,
what
do
you think? Oh, that must be fun.
You know what's in a banana hammock. I just think people, when it comes to sports, it's a release for a lot of people. And they get very passionate. And then they get over-passionate. And then they get ridiculously passionate. Okay? So your brother committed a bank robbery, but you still love him. But Colin Kaepernick doesn't get to have a job. Let me get this straight. So you went out to Bill Ricka. You picked up your brother for attempted murder after he spent 6 years in jail. And you go get loaded and buy him dinner because you're pumped he's out of jail after attempted murder. But Colin Kaepernick can't have a job. You guys are lunatics.
You're in Banana Land.
Yep.
You're living in Banana Land.
I want to go to Banana Land.
And let me tell you something. LB's Banana Land has a rum floater on the top.
Yeah, it does. It's a dirty Banana Land.
How do you not? It's a dirty Banana Land.
Yes. All right. We got to get out of here. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Like to wish the Bentley Falcons good luck in their game tomorrow.
Good luck.
I'd like to
have fun driving to Long Island.
Thank you. I'd like to wish the Lady Saints of St. Lawrence University good luck in their soccer game.
Have a safe drive, Jules. Mrs. Hill.
Yes, yes. And we will be back on Monday with Monday's Mutt in the studio, and we'll go inside the Simple Male Mind. And up next, it is the WAAF Workday Blitz. So you get over an hour of nonstop rock and not a single commercial. We'll talk to you Monday. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.